Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
It's another brilliant night in Chicago. Beautiful downtown overlooking the lake right now. A few sailboats wisping about in Lake Michigan. There is baseball being played at Wrigley Field, a simulated game where it's slightly breezy at Wrigley Field. We'll check back in with Ron Coomer in about a half an hour or so to get another update and another feel and another report from Wrigley. If for nothing else, we'll get a few highlights, maybe a little play-by-play from Coom as he continues to set the scene throughout the rest of this night as we get you ready for baseball for real, which will be happening very soon, a week from this Friday, as a matter of fact, for the Cubs and the White Sox. And one thing that I've been doing throughout this week and filling in for Joe Ostrowski is to get a feel for the Central divisions, the Cubs division and the White Sox division, because 40 of the 60 games will be against divisional opponents this year. So we thought it right to really get intel on these teams. And next up is the Cleveland Indians. The Indians were 93-69 last year, second place in the division, and a promising ball club this year, it would look like as well. But let's find out from Mandy Bell. She is of MLB. She is on Twitter at MandyBell02. Mandy, what's going on?
Oh, nothing too much. Just excited that baseball's back. How about you?
Oh, yes. We feel exactly the same way around here. And I think that probably just like you, everybody around here is like, yeah, we definitely think there's going to be baseball. We just hope that they're able to finish a baseball season this year. And Mandy, you heard me talking about the Cleveland Indians and what they were able to accomplish last year. One thing the Indians seem like in the last 10 years that they all always had is really good starting pitching, and you look at Mike Clevinger and Shane Bieber and Carlos Carrasco. Is there any reason to think that the pitching won't be the most promising part of the roster again this year?
No, I think that's going to be it once again. It's really impressive just to see just the pipeline that they have of starting pitchers. And I mean, you name those three, and of course it seems weird to start referring to guys like Bieber and Clevinger as veterans, but they're slowly starting to settle into that type of a role. And then you have the young guys like Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac coming up, and they're really just you saw them last year, they just thrived. And so that I think that can only make the front office just feel just so much more comfortable when they know that they're young guys that are coming up just have so much talent. And I think that what was most surprising for everybody was just their poise. It was unbelievable to watch last year the way that they took the mound, and it didn't seem like they were 24-year-old rookies at the time. And I think that has a lot of people excited and gave them the comfort to trade away somebody like Corey Kluber over the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you use the word pipeline to describe the pitching for Cleveland. How did that go over? I know that the fans appreciate the way the roster is built right now, but how did that go over with Indians fans when Kluber was traded?
It was tough. I mean, I don't think it made it any easier whenever the centerpiece of that trade coming back for the Indians was Emmanuel Clase, and he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs just during the suspension of play whenever everything was during quarantine. So that was a little tougher for fans to think that this young 21-year-old reliever who was supposed to have this triple-digit cutter and just nasty stuff that people were excited to see and to have that type of a blow was difficult, and it didn't make it any easier to get rid of the only two-time Cy Young Award winner in this franchise's history. So that didn't make it easier, but I know from the Indians' perspective, they are excited about Clase's future and what he can eventually bring once he's back next season after serving his suspension this year. But it definitely was tough from a fan's perspective.
Talking to Mandy Bell of MLB.com about the Cleveland Indians, and the Indians have a player who is in a similar circumstance to one of the players on the Cubs, and I'm talking about, in the case of the Indians, Francisco Lindor, because there had been much talk about the possibility of him being traded. Same deal with Chris Bryant and the Cubs, and because of, at least in the Cubs' sake, a lack of market, and the Cubs and Theo Epstein not thinking they could get back what they wanted, he wasn't moved. And then with what has happened with our country and COVID-19, that completely deleted the idea of trading Bryant, at least this year. I mean, it could still happen. What about Lindor? How close did it get, and how close might it still get with him being traded, or do you think they'll lock him in?
I mean, the Indians had so many calls about Lindor over the offseason, and how couldn't you whenever you have a talent like that? It seemed at times that the talks might have been heating up, and he was really tied to the Dodgers, but the Indians have shown so many times that they don't want to give up a player, like you were sort of saying with Bryant. They don't want to give up one of their star players for a package that is even a penny less than what they think that they deserve. And so they obviously had something very specific in mind, and the Dodgers weren't going to match it. And you started to hear all the variations of offers going back and forth. And no matter what it was, the Indians did not hit exactly what they wanted. And so you still see Lindor here for opening day next week. I think maybe going into this season, if it would have been a regular year, he would have been a hot topic at the trade deadline. And I honestly think he probably would have been moved if they were even the slightest bit out of contention. But this year, I mean, I think the deadline's what, only like 38 days into the season. So it's hard to know, unless you get off to just the slowest of all starts. It's hard to know if you're actually out of contention this year. And so I think just from that perspective, it's going to be hard for them to justify moving him, even if they have the slightest bit of chances to make a run. And then on the flip side, other teams may be hesitant to be giving up a lot for this deadline, because there's no guarantees, as much as we all hope there is, that we get to the playoffs this year, just because of the health risks and everything going on with the pandemic. I think that might play a factor in opposing GM's minds of whether or not they really want to empty the tank to get somebody like Lindor for a season and sort of a half.
What are Lindor's wants? Is he the type of guy who does he want to stay in Cleveland long term? Does he want the highest bidder? Does he want to go to a bigger market? What does Francisco Lindor want?
When you ask him, he says that he does want to stay in Cleveland, and I think that that's something that the Indians and he both have been transparent about. But he also is somebody that wants to make sure that he's getting exactly what he thinks that he deserves. You saw him during the process whenever Bryce Harper was trying to, you know, he was working the free agent market, and you had all these other guys, and Lindor was very vocal saying they need to make every penny that they deserve, and they should be going after that. And so that sort of gave us an idea of what it's going to be like for him whenever he does hit free agency, and he said that too. And the Indians just keep saying, look, we can afford to extend somebody like Lindor. We're just not sure if we can afford to build a championship-level team around him if we would do that. So they're just trying to come up with every algorithm that they can possibly come up with to see if they can piece that together. But right now, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's feasible.
How's Carlos Carrasco? I mean, the health scares, is he back full force mentally and physically?
He is, and he's so excited for this season. I know that he had some conversations with his family heading into the year about the health risks, since he is higher risk because he did have leukemia last year. But He's really, really excited to come back. He went through all the medical clearances, and they're being super careful with him, taking even extra guidelines and protocols for him to make sure that he's going to be in a good position to make it through this year as healthy as he can. But yeah, he's going to be back as a starter this year. He came back briefly last year as a reliever, and that was even an emotional return just getting on the mound in general. But I know he's just so excited to be able to make that first start. It's going to be weird that it's not in front of fans after everything he's been through, but
yeah.
Nonetheless, he's really, really looking forward to this season.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it, that it won't be in front of fans, and that's too, I mean, eventually it will be, and he will eventually get his from the crowd, but yeah, it's hopefully it stays away and he is fully recovered with the leukemia. But yeah, I hadn't even thought about it that way from the fans' perspective. But they'll eventually get that chance. You mentioned Zach Plesac as well, and he's a guy that's been on this radio station before because his uncle Dan is Dan Plesac, who I'm sure you are aware of as well. Played for the Cubs, played for the White Sox, played for the Brewers. He's on our radio station all the time. So how is Zach Plesac, like, what do you think is, if possible, the ceiling is for some, like, he's pretty much penciled in as a fifth starter right now, but does he have the capability of progressing higher or lower number-wise in that starting rotation eventually in his career?
It definitely seems like it as of right now. I mean, going into this camp, it seems like he and Adam Pletko are fighting it out for that fifth spot in the rotation. Aaron Civale's in that mix too, but just from an early hunch, it seems like he might be a little bit of have like a step forward on both of them in earning one of those two final spots. But I mean, his future, it just seems like it could be so bright. And I know the Indians got so excited for it last year. I mean, both Civale and Plesac, it's not like they weren't on the Indians' radars, but it wasn't like they were in big league camp last year. And I don't necessarily think that they, you know, expected to have so many injuries to have to tap into that starting pitching depth that they had to. And both times that they called on those two guys, they really, really thrived last year. So I think someone like Plesac does have a chance to move up into the rotation, like, and maybe a number two or number three starter. And I know that, I mean, a bigger perk for him to have alongside just his pitching talent is just his pickoff move. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a faster pickoff move. And last year he made that impact so quickly. I mean, he's up for a few weeks and he's already in the top of the leaderboard of pickoffs last year. So that was fun to watch, and just the athleticism he has. It really just brings a whole different aspect to his game.
Yeah, it's something that comes in real handy for pitchers when they're good at that. Like, one of those many things it feels like in many cases can be a lost art. And the guys that are good at it, it's really fun to watch that. And that's Mandy Bell is who we're talking to right now of MLB.com. She covers the Cleveland Indians. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And then, of course, Mandy, the great unknown, and every single team is the bullpen. How is the Cleveland Indians bullpen?
That's just the biggest area that they're trying to figure out right now. I mean, they have 10 outfielders on their 40-man roster, so they're trying to sift through that right now too. But the bullpen seems to be the bigger question mark. And going into last year, it didn't seem like that would be something that would have been one of their strengths. It was a scrappy type of a bullpen. But from the beginning of the year through the end of August, they had posted the best ERA in the majors. So I think it sort of took everybody by surprise by how successful they were. And I think that just is a tribute to how well Pito is able to manage a bullpen. So that's what will be even more interesting to see this year, how maybe the three-batter minimum rule impacts the way he does manage a bullpen like you got to see him do last year. But, I mean, Brad Hamm will be back as their closer. You have locks in like Nick Wickren, Adam Simber, Oliver Perez. They're excited for James Karinchak, who's expected to be a bigger role this year in the big league team. He came up in September last year, and he has just a lot more velocity than what this bullpen has. He's going to bring the much-needed pop into the bullpen, and then he has a very lethal curveball that, I mean, you can hear his teammates talk about it when we were in Arizona. Everyone was just talking about that in the clubhouse. So, I mean, it's just as long as he can settle in on his fastball command, that's his biggest problem. It's just getting those walks down. If he can do that, I think he's going to be a difference maker and make this bullpen a little bit stronger than maybe what we're expecting it to be heading into the season.
zooming out a little bit, Mandy, are the Cleveland Indians going to get to keep their nickname, the Indians?
I mean, right now it doesn't seem like it. I don't know when that's going to be changed, but it seems like it's going to be in the direction that this will not be the nickname forever. And I mean, they put that statement out, I think it's been over 2 weeks ago now, that they said that they're open to having discussions about what the best path forward will be in regards to their name. And we saw it all with the Washington Redskins over the past few weeks, and now they've announced that they're going to be changing their name. So now everyone's looking back at the Indians thinking, okay, is this coming? It's weird timing because, you know, we're all about to start the season. The focus is on the season. And so it's a weird timing to try to figure out how to rebrand your entire franchise that's been in place for over 100 years. So it's different, but I don't think they would have put that statement out there that they're open to discussing what the best path forward would be for them if it's not eventually leading that direction. So I don't know when, but I do think it's going to happen.
Have you been able to gauge fan reaction about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think anytime that there's a statement made on it, there's just a battle back and forth of anything that we tweet out in the comments. And it seems like it's 50-50. You have a lot of loyal fans that just don't want to see the name go. And then you have the other half that are sitting there saying the same things that you hear Tito saying or the players saying, where if it is offensive to groups out there, then they think it should be changed. So it seems like it's 50-50 right now. But yeah, there are a lot of fans out there that it's hard for them to understand and cope with the fact that the only name that they've known of their favorite team is going to change.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, it's person to person, no doubt about it. You mentioned Tito a couple of times, Terry Francona, the manager of the Cleveland Indians. Is he equipped to be a good 60-game manager, you think?
Honestly, I think so. I mean, the Indians have said countless times about how the only person that they would want in this type of a situation is Terry Francona. He's been like the best manager that this team, this franchise has seen. The year after year, I mean, since 2013, he's continued to lead them to a winning record. And I think just in the 60-game sprint, I think the only concern going into it is that his teams are notorious for getting off to super slow starts. And I think we're going to learn quickly whether or not that's just like a Tito managerial thing, or if that's just been, you know, playing in Cleveland in March and April in the freezing temperatures. So I think we'll learn that pretty soon. But, I mean, you can hear the confidence that players in the front office have in having Tito at the helm for something like this. And I do think that that's an advantage for the Indians.
Well, and I understand what you're saying. Obviously, he is liked by the fans. But now it just got me thinking and curious. How did he take criticism, or a lot of criticism, in 2016 when they lost to the Cubs, when they had the advantage in the World Series and ended up losing in seven? Or were they just blessed or felt blessed that the Indians got into the World Series?
I think it's sort of like a mix of both. I think most of it has been just the excitement that season has brought. That season brought. I mean, you think about the Game 7 of the World Series, and it still feels like a gut punch for every Indians fan around here. And they struggle to cope with that one and move on. I know we've posted stories, just flashbacks to that World Series, and every time we post those things, people tweet out and say, "Too soon, we can't even think about it. Please don't bring this up." But I think it's been a mix of both. But when you talk about Terry Francona on any type of social media platform, fans are just overwhelming in support of him. I know the biggest controversy last year was how often he likes to bunt and how much he likes to bunt. But outside of that, I mean, I don't think anyone's holding any grudges over what happened in 2016, and not solely putting the finger on Terry Francona. So I overwhelmingly, it seems like he has tremendous support from the city of Cleveland.
Last thing, Mandy, who's the best team in the American League Central, do you think?
I think it's going to be tight between the Twins, the Indians, and the White Sox this year, which will make it more fun because you have more teams in it than what you're used to in the AL Central. But I do still think that the Twins are going to be the ones who come out on top this year. But I fully expect this to be a super close race.
Mandy, thank you for the time. Great information, and hopefully we'll talk to you throughout this 60-game season. And good luck and good health to you, too, as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You, too.
Yep, you got it. That is Mandy Bell. She is Cleveland Indians reporter for MLB.com. If you want to follow Mandy Bell, you can do so on Twitter at MandyBell02, at MandyBell02. Yeah, I mean, we talk so much around here about that 2016 World Series and some of the moves that Joe Maddon made and some of the critiques that he took during that game and up to this date about it from fans and from reporters and from talk show hosts and from writers and everybody. And I really looked at it from, because it was so monumental, I have never really looked at it or read up on how everything went over in Cleveland after the 2016 World Series, that they were in pole position to win that World Series up 3-1. And the Cubs obviously come storming back and win that thing. And I don't know, honestly don't know how it was looked upon, if it was looked upon as a choke job or just a, if they can objectively zoom out and look and say, well, it was a hell of a series and game 7 was epic. And it sounds like from what Mandy was saying that they are able to have looked at that and say, yes, they were part of a historic game 7 and everything that went down from the rain delay to the extra innings to the Cubs winning the World Series. But, you know, she described it as gut punch. But I just thought it was interesting. And, yeah, I mean, Terry Francona, you know what he has done, obviously, in his days with Theo Epstein in Boston and now with Cleveland, and he is an affable, interesting, good guy by all accounts. So it was good intel there from Mandy Bell on what's going on with the Indians. And you heard that, White Sox fans. Like, she includes the Sox in that pack of teams in the American League Central. And I say pack, I mean trio. And that's Minnesota, Cleveland, and your Chicago White Sox. As a matter of fact, later on the show, at about 8:40, in our early odds segment, which Joe Ostrowski usually does on this show, Adam and I are going to do our MLB picks. So we'll tell you who we think is going to win the division, who the wild cards are going to be. Before that, we've still got a lot to do before 8:40, as a matter of fact, because we're going to bring Ron Coomer in again in just a little bit from Wrigley Field. He's out there watching the Cubs play a sim game right now. And at 8 o'clock, we will talk to our old friend Chris Ranji, who's out there doing radio in St. Louis for 101 ESPN. We'll find out all about the St. Louis Cardinals with Ranji a little bit later on as well. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's going on? Great to have you with me here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody in for Joe Ostrowski here until 10 o'clock tonight. Grobber Score overnight starting at midnight tonight. Hope you're all well, and I mean that. 312-644-6767. The text and phone lines are open for you. You could always tweet me on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports if you want to do it like that. We're going to be joined by Ron Coomer. We'll check in with him out at Wrigley Field here momentarily. 8 o'clock, about a half an hour from now, we'll go to St. Louis and talk to Chris Ronji about them Cardinals. And at 8:40, early odds, and that's when we will give you our baseball picks for this season, at least the division winners and the teams that will go to the wild card. I'm going to have to drag this out maybe throughout the week because I actually didn't do the playoff winners and the World Series winners, but we'll get to that. And I'll tell you this right now, there is at least one Chicago team that I think will be in the baseball playoffs this year. All right, let's get it back out to Wrigley Field once again, where the Cubs are playing a sim game, and that's where we find the sweet tones of Ron Coomer. Coom, what's going on out there, man?
Well, we are watching a ball game. I've had a lot of visitors here in the booth. Colin Faulkner and Craig Kenny were here. Now the great Bruce Levine is up here in the booth. We're talking a little baseball and watching this ball game. So it's been a lot of good baseball talk and enjoying a beautiful night here at Wrigley. And the game has gone pretty well, actually, Mark.
So it's just like any night at Wrigley Field when it's usually you and Pat and Zach. It's just a parade of visitors wanting to see the celebrity broadcasters. Is that what it is, Coom?
I don't know if that's the case. We're using that word celebrity awfully loosely. We'll just put it that way. We are hanging out here. It is absolutely beautiful here at Wrigley Field tonight.
I didn't even ask you before. Just to get us tuned up for the season, is the wind blowing out or in tonight?
Wind is blowing out to left and left center at probably 15 to 20 miles an hour. Mm. Kipnis just popped one up. Kipnis has driven in the only run of the game. He just popped out to Nico Horner at short, but Kipnis got to base it up the middle. Drove in KB earlier today for the only run. And now Javi's coming up. Javi's hitting third for the home team, the white group.
So that's the way they've got the white team and the blue team, presumably?
Yep, you got it. White, blue, and gray. So the white team is all white, and then the blue and gray.
Okay. So Javier Baez at the plate right now. So hopefully eventually we'll hear what he does up there. And, you know, I was talking about Javier Baez the other day, Coom, and I think that as well accomplished as he already is, having been a co-MVP in the playoffs, having been a runner-up to Mr. Milwaukee, I can't think of his name right now, in the
MVP. Christian Yelich. Yep.
Thank you very much, Christian Yelich. He's an extremely accomplished player, both offensively and defensively, and I still think there's another level yet to Javier Baez. Do you agree with that, or do you think that we have seen that I'm asking too much for him to go from like a 9 to an 11?
No, I think there is. I would agree to that. I think there's some consistency things that he could probably do on the offensive side that if he gets to could even be better, believe it or not. And then there's just the maturing factor of being in our game longer, right? I mean, you know, we all learn more and more about how to play our game and be more efficient in the game. I mean, and that's any job. And I think for Javi, he's such a talented player and has such great baseball instincts. And then when you take those great instincts and you put in years of service time of understanding, you know, how teams are trying to play you and what they're doing, and all of a sudden you get these, you know, these super supreme talents, and then they get that aspect of it too. It's, you know, I just remember first name that comes to mind for me that was my teammate was Paul Molitor. You know, he was one of those guys, and Kirby Puckett. You know, they were supreme talents, but then all of a sudden, you know, they really understood the league and what everybody was doing. And then they were just that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, like he could get to a level of, you know, being unstoppable. And then another thing too, and I don't want to get like too carried away about Baez, Coombe, he is what so many people are touted to be, and that's a five-tool player. And he's legit, because there's always prospects that have come up in baseball throughout my lifetime that say, this guy's a five-tool player, and then you don't see it. Javier Baez is legit in that regard. Isn't he a legitimate five-tool player?
Yep, he really is. That's it. And the way you put that is exactly right. I have seen a lot of people in the minor leagues that they said, oh, he's got five tools. Yeah, but he didn't have the sixth one, that one between the ears. That one went away. I don't know where it went, but it went away. Javi's got all of them, and you know, and he's got the desire to be great. I really thought that was the one thing Joe Maddon did very well with Javi, is he brought that out of him and talked about him to him about being, you know, an elite player. And I think, you know, the other person that's going to really help him with that's going to be David Ross. You know, David played with a lot of elite players and is a championship player, and I think that's gonna be brought out of Javi even more so with David.
What's going on out there, Coombe? I'm hearing the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, there was Contreras. Javi struck out, and Contreras just popped out to first, and the wind got a hold of the ball and blew it into center field a little bit more, and Perez made the catch, Hernan Perez. So that was the end of, I believe that's the fourth inning. I believe,
hey man,
the end of the fourth.
You could say anything right now, and we'd buy it. So
yeah, I'm going with the fourth. We're just going with it.
we'll stick with that. That's right. Now, I know I'm hearing music. Did I hear crowd noise?
Yes, you are hearing crowd noise.
I did.
So I'll give you a little insight. Major League Baseball today sent some different types of crowd noise to some of the major league teams to sample and try and see how it works, and that's what they were doing. So they're doing that today. I think it's worked very well. It sounds very good. And they're playing all the music too, right? So there's music in between innings like we'd normally have. The video boards are working and going strong. Everything is working here at Wrigley Field, so all has been good. Everything. You know, even the walk-up music. They're playing the walk-up music, so we've got some ground crew people helping out the front office people helping out the grounds crew and dragging the field right now, so that's entertainment. So we got it all going on here at the Friendly Confines, buddy.
Oh, man, that is the voice of Ron Coomer, who is indeed at Wrigley Field. I'm Mark Rohde in downtown Chicago, and we collectively are on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, where you will hopefully hear Ron and Pat and Zach in 60 games of baseball this year. It sounds to me, Coombe, it's obviously not an ideal situation. Some people would use the word a bad situation, but it sounds like to me that everybody out there is trying to make the most of this situation, and dare I say, putting a little smile on their face right now and allowing themselves to have a good time.
Well, Mark, I think we're all trying to do that, right? All you guys that have been hosting shows all through this period of the coronavirus, and you know, our daily shows that guys been doing it and doing it from home, and engineers and producers and all those guys doing such a great job, and you know, here at Wrigley Field, everybody pitching in to try to do whatever they can do to make things right and get, you know, get the team on the field, and for all of us up here in the broadcast teams, you know, to do our best to bring you what we got from, you know, Bruce and I being here every day, and you know, knowing Pat and Zach and Paul will be here in another week or so, start calling games. Everybody's got to do their part. That's just part of it. And then also, you know, use some common sense with the social distancing, and you know, and understanding that, you know, we all gotta do our best to make the best out of a very tough situation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just heard the great sound of the crack of the bat. Did anything significant happen there while I was interrupting you?
Yeah, the only thing I'm missing, you know, that I always love when I first come to the ballpark, like in spring training, and then when the season starts here at Wrigley, is being down on the field, the smell of the fresh cut grass every day, because they cut the grass in the infield almost every day, and the smell of the pine tar rag.
Oh,
it's just something you don't get at home. You know, occasionally you'll smell it the grass on the golf course, right? And you get, but the pine tar, there's nobody else uses pine tar. I might have to steal one of the rags and bring it home with me. Maybe we'll do that. Don't tell anybody. So everybody listening tonight, don't say anything, but I might do that.
It's our dirty little secret. Well, I remember you, Coom, like down on the field before games, and one thing that I don't know that you'll be able to do is that you love to, you know, go hang around the cage too, like get right up there. There was like, it was like the Coom line that none of us were allowed to cross. I was always like in 10 feet back, but you'd be up there rubbing elbows with the players, hobnobbing with Joe Maddon or whomever at the time. I don't think you're not going to be able to do that, are you? You're not going to be able to be on the field before games at all, are you?
Nope, we won't. I had some really good times with the teams in the past, and, you know, just talking hitting for all of us hitters that played at this level, you love those discussions. And I was able to do that this spring with David, who was my old teammate. Rossi was my locker mate in Los Angeles, and we were able to do some of that. And, you know, we just won't be able to do that this season. You know, as of right now, that's just not going to happen. And you know what? That's the way it goes. We'll just make the best, like we said, of whatever situation we've got.
Couple other things in this segment, Coom. What's the dugout situation? Is there an extended dugout? Like, are they sitting? Are they allowed to sit in the stands, or is it just the standard dugouts that they're sitting in?
Well, right now there's a couple things going on, Mark. It's a great question. So the guys are pretty much social distance in the dugout, and then there are coaches and some players sitting in the stands to the home plate side of the third base dugout. There's a few coaches there. And then they are building some auxiliary dugouts. So they're building some rooftops on either side of the camera wells on both sides. So if you go down the first and third baseline where the camera wells, the TV cameras are, they're well. Past that, they're building these auxiliary dugouts so guys can be in a dugout setting and still be social distance. So they're doing some work here at Wrigley during the day to try to, you know, get some more dugout space. So they're doing everything you could possibly do here at Wrigley to make it safe and a good environment.
So, and no, players aren't wearing the masks, right?
That is correct. I did see Darvish come in from the bullpen today wearing a mask. I have seen KB take ground balls and practice wearing a mask once. But the coaches are wearing masks, the two base coaches, but the players are not wearing a mask. But now today, I did not see the home plate umpire, but the base coaches were wearing, or the base umpires were wearing masks today.
Okay. And you said the coach, like David Ross, wears a mask as well?
David has one of those things you wear around your neck, and then you can pull it up.
Yes.
He has been wearing one of those, so I don't know what you call that.
Yeah.
But he is wearing one of those and wears it everywhere on the field. Yep.
Okay. Lastly, in this segment, from what I've heard from David Ross on the Zoom calls, he seems to be, and I'm not surprised, he seems to be comporting himself well with the media, saying the right thing so far. How do you think he's been, and how do you think he's going to do in 60 games?
I think he's going to do just fine. I've known David for a very long time. And what you see is what you get with David. He's got a big personality. He's a really nice guy. I mean, he just is. He always has been. He's a fierce competitor, which, you know, you like having too. So you got both of those. And he's learned through the years to deal with all of the requests and media and things that you sign up for when you take a manager's job. And then when you take a job like the Cubs job of all places, a lot like New York or LA or some, or Boston, you know that that's part of the gig, right? So he has been very accommodating, and I expect him to. And then the other thing I think of, just, you know, his job of, you know, the 26 or 30 men that he's dealing with in his dugout and his clubhouse, he's going to do just fine in that regard. I think he was well prepared to be a big league manager.
No doubt. I mean, he's got the number one, at least in my opinion, the number one part of being a manager is one who knows how to deal with a pitching staff. And obviously, having worked with some of the best in the business as a player, it seems like he's got that part down. There's a lot more to being a manager, but don't you think, Coom, that is a number one when it comes to an actual skill or what a manager has to do on a field?
Yep, there's no doubt. You've got to be able to handle your pitching staff and your bullpen. And you know, I would say that's probably one, and maybe 1A would be just dealing with people, right? Dealing with your 25 or now 26, and which will be 30 for the first 2 weeks, personalities. And I think he will do a very good job at that.
All right, Coom, give our love to Bruce Levine, and I'll look forward to hearing who makes their way into the booth when we next check in with you.
Okay, that sounds great, Mark.
All right, man. That is Ron Coomer live at Wrigley Field, getting a little taste during a simulated game, just the one run having been scored out there. But it's nice. It's just a little tiny warm-up for the season. And, yeah, they are pumping in a little bit of crowd noise. The music is playing. They've got the PA guy out there as well. So I got a feeling that some of the sounds that you will hear on the radio with Pat and Ron and Zach will be similar to what you have heard, but and some of it is going to be artificial. And I think it's, look, I get it. It puts everybody in a tough situation in terms of decisions and whether you want that artificial sound going through there. But I think you have to have it because you just don't want to have that lonely sound for baseball. It's not what it's made for. It is there to keep you company, so there needs to be a little bit of happiness associated with the broadcast. And look, I know Pat and Ron and Zach can give you that alone, but you gotta add a little bit of flavor to it. So there's a little piece for you. We'll have more from Ron Coomer a little bit later on. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Chris Ranji about the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm here till 10. I'm in for Joe Ostrowski. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's been a fun show. We've been able to check in with Ron Coomer live at Wrigley Field a couple of times. We'll do it again in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Joe O here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I will be here until 10 o'clock tonight and much to come. Like I said, we're still going to have Coom on again. Maybe, who knows, maybe even a couple more times. We'll see. It just depends on how long Coomer is sitting in that Cubs refurbished radio booth tonight where he's had lots of people come through the booth. I hope he's staying healthy out there. We'll also have Chris Ranji on at 8 o'clock to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, and I can't wait for 8:40 because that's when Adam Studzinski and I are going to do early odds, and that means that we are going to do our Major League Baseball picks, and I know you're going to want to take that to the proverbial bank. Coming soon as well, the Blackhawks. They will take on Edmonton on August 1st, starting on August 1st, in that best of five play-in series, and I believe it's an afternoon game, like a 2 o'clock game. And as you've probably heard by now, the Blackhawks top goaltender Corey Crawford has been deemed unfit to play. He won't play. The thought was that if Crawford had been healthy, the Hawks might have had a chance to win that series, and who knows, maybe go on and do some damage in the rest of the tournament, or however you are characterizing what's going on in the NHL, just because you have a Stanley Cup winning goalie, you have a core of players that have won before, and who the hell knows with puck luck and all that kind of stuff. But it's not that scratch that symbolizes the end of the season for the Blackhawks. It's not that. It was never that. That happened a while back, actually, and it did deal with a goalie. On Feb 24th, trade deadline, the Blackhawks traded another goalie, Robin Lehner, as part of that three-team trade with Vegas for a 2020 second-round pick and Malcolm Subban, and another prospect as well. That was the move, ladies and gentlemen, that signified that the Blackhawks were waving the white flag on the season. That's when they kind of, to themselves as an organization, said, yeah, that's just going to about do her. And, you know, the Hawks were kind of walking out the door, turning the lights off, and they get rid of a goalie. They fire the team president. See you next year. And it's, wait, what? Somebody just turned the lights back on. Wait, what? Turn that off. Shut that. No, we're still playing? We're still in this tournament? Yep, you're still in this tournament, and you're down to Corey Crawford, and now Corey Crawford is gone as well. So the Blackhawks were, I'm not saying they were ill-prepared to play again. I just, you know, in an honest moment, they probably were like, all right, I'm not sure that we needed any more of this. So instead of maybe having what could have been arguably the best goalie tandem going into this playoff series, the play-in series, they have none. And for the Blackhawks, it is going to be like the Bulls. It is all about the offseason. It is that there is going to be much intrigue. Is Stan Bowman still the builder of this team? Is there a core guy the Blackhawks might still consider trading? Is Jeremy Colleton the man going forward to be behind the bench? And the question that I want answered most, and to me that's the big advantage of still being alive for the Blackhawks, is hopefully this question will get asked. I don't know if it'll get answered, depending on what kind of access beat reporters have, but I still don't know what happened with John McDonough. Is Danny Wirtz now the guy? And one of the things that I did like about John McDonough, other than kind of bringing a semblance of pride back to the organization with some of the obvious moves that he made with home ice and bringing back some of the Blackhawks dignitaries, was that it always felt like he had a sense of urgency, like good enough is not good enough. Like there was never satisfaction coming from him. And I'm not saying that can't emanate from other members of the Blackhawks organization. But to me, that was a big deal about him. And I think that Blackhawks fans would still like, you know, at least comment on it. I mean, I guess they're not obligated to answer why they got rid of somebody within their organization, other than the usual trite things that people say, time to move on and all that kind of stuff, be good for both sides. So at least a comment on it other than what was on the piece of paper. And it will be good. This is a good chance to start to see what some of the other goalies might be able to do. Colin Delia and Kevin Lankinen and Malcolm Subban. And I do like the idea of the Blackhawks having a Subban on the team, just because there's star power behind that name by way of PK of the Subbans. It'd be nice to have him too, but I don't know. There's something comforting to me about having a Subban on the Blackhawks. And Malcolm, I think, probably falls in that category of less talented sibling. Like Casey Urlacher to Brian Urlacher, maybe Ladarius Mack to Khalil Mack. Who are some of the other less talented siblings or brothers? Chris Gwynn to Tony Gwynn. Jeremy Giambi to Jason Giambi. There's all sorts of examples. We could re-explore that. If you want to throw a couple text messages on that, 312-644-6767 is the number. But I'm being told that we need to take a break stat because Chris Ronji's not going to wait around all night to talk to us here on The Score. Ronji is next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.